you're a QuickBooks customer looking to grow your business without the growing pains, you need the Intuit ERP. Upgrade to Intuit Enterprise Suite in a matter of hours. It's the AI-native ERP from the makers of QuickBooks. Learn more at intuit.com/ERP.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, could it be that the annoying things your significant other says may not be coming from them? That's my explanation.
Okay.
For everything.
We'll go with that.
I'm possessed. Is that where this leads?
Maybe, maybe not.
I'm excited. Also, a ghost seems to roam the halls of a home's old layout, and a listener describes a ghost family that she sees that has gone to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, there you go. And ghost hand strikes again. Ghost hand?
Yeah. Remember, we've had a story about a ghost hand.
Yeah, that was like a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. This is another one from a different person.
Oh, different person.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe ghost hand made another reappearance. Because it was kind of like we were talking about Thing, I think, weren't we? Like, it's kind of like a real life version of that in mm-hmm. a certain extent. Well, there you go. I'm excited. Some interesting stories today. Of course, 855-853-4802. Is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us, and we would love to hear your stories. Before I go into the reading of the stories portion of the show, I'm going to go over to a caller to kick things off. Hi, let's hear your story.
Good afternoon, Bruce. My name is Jose. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. I just want to say I love what you guys are doing. I found your guys' show on Spotify. I've been binge-watching you guys for the last 7 days, day in and day out. Just can't get enough of it, and pretty soon I'll be becoming an EPP member. Just need to save up some money from a few of my paychecks. But with that being said, I got a story of my own I'd like to share with you guys and hope to hear it on the air someday. This story takes place in Helper, Price, Utah, about a year and a half ago when we were visiting my wife's great-grandma's house. Now, this house has a particular history with her family, being as it was built by scratch by her great-grandfather and her great-great-grandfather by their own hands from the ground up. Now, her great-grandfather used to own pretty much this whole big plot of land, and he ended up giving this plot of land to her grandparents, her great-grandparents, after they got married as a wedding present, and then helped them build the house from bottom up. Now, this house and this land is located, I want to say, 45 feet away from the Helper cemetery. Now, this might explain why this paranormal stuff happens, and that's where actually her great-grandfather is buried. So, with that history, I'd like to tell you what happened. We were all just hanging out, me, my wife, her mom, a couple of her cousins, her aunt, about a total of 10 of us sitting in the living room of this house where her great-grandfather actually passed away. We were just sitting there talking about the good old days, talking about her great-grandfather, and just laughing and talking. And talking about a time just a couple days ago before we got there to visit where a pigeon had actually flown right into the front window of the living room and left its impression of its wings. It almost looked like angel wings. It was still there when we got there and just flew straight into it. Left an impression, killed itself. It was like it wanted to commit suicide. As we're sitting there talking about that, we have the ceiling fan going off, and her great-grandma says that she's getting kind of cold. And then we start talking about how her grandpa John used to hate the ceiling fan being on because it would always dry out his eyes. And we start laughing, we start telling stories about him, and all of a sudden, the ceiling fan starts going all whack. Now, by that, I mean the ceiling fan blades were spinning clockwise, and then the light fixture on the ceiling fan was spinning counterclockwise. Now, this started off a little bit slow, but then the light started spinning really, really rapidly. And we all stopped talking, sat there, and just stared at it, kind of in shock, not knowing exactly what was going on. And it just kept spinning and spinning and spinning, and then it abruptly stopped. You would think it would just slow down and then stop, but no, this thing stopped on a dime, just boom, done. And we all sat there, looked at each other, and we're like, well, that was weird, because we were all just talking about how Grandpa John hated to have that ceiling fan on because it would dry out his eyes. Now, her Grandpa John passed away in that very same living room, in the chair that was sitting still in that living room. Now, I don't know if that had anything to do with why the ceiling fan was going crazy, but that was the first paranormal experience I ever had, and in that house. Well, with ghosts anyway. I've seen shadow people as well, and if you guys like this story, I'll call you guys back and tell you some other of my other stories. But that was pretty crazy. I mean, it didn't scare us because, well, if it was Grandpa John, we didn't think it was a malevolent spirit or anything. You know, it was just kind of cool to see that he was contacting us and saying, yeah, I don't like this fan on, and then shuts it off. But that's not the only paranormal thing that's happened in that house, but also one thing happened to my mother-in-law while we were staying there another time. This was before I had gotten with my wife, actually. And she was staying in one of the bedrooms down the hall from her grandma's bedroom. And the door in that bedroom is so low that it scrapes up against the carpet. And it's just really rough to open and really rough to shut. And it makes a specific sound when you open and close this door. Now, it takes a significant amount of force to open or close this door. And she was laying there sleeping. And her husband, my father-in-law at the time, was off in the bathroom taking care of business. And she was laying there in the dark, getting ready to go to sleep, and she hears the door open up, and she calls my father-in-law and says, come to bed, you know, what's going on, you know, and then nothing. So she calls his name again, sits up, and the door's closed. That immediately freaked out my mother-in-law. She lays back down and says, stop, Grandpa John, you're scaring me. And that was it. She wakes up in the morning, tells her grandma about it. And she says, yeah, she feels Grandpa John's presence there quite a bit. So she lives there by herself, has the family come over and visit, and we never feel anything scary, but we do feel his presence there. And Grandpa John is buried in the cemetery right up the street, along with a whole bunch of other people from Hell for Christ. So that might have something to do with paranormal activity happening there at the house. But just wanted to say, again, thanks again for listening to my story, and I have more to say.
There we go.
And that's it.
Lots of dead family.
I wonder if you are more likely to have a haunting if your final resting place is, you know, very close to where your home was.
I would think that would probably increase the odds a bit.
I think so.
You know, you have to wonder, sometimes, you know, when you have haunted houses that are older, mm-hmm. you know, haunted houses, and when I'm saying old, I mean like fairly old, like where it might have been more socially acceptable to bury your dead in the back.
Okay.
If that has any factor in exactly what you just said, as far as the homes having hauntings going on, obviously age increases your odds of just the amount of people that have come and gone mm-hmm. through those doors. But the likelihood of actually having a body somewhere on property that you may be unaware of, probably, I don't know. I think that maybe
I would think it might.
A factor, if you would. Here's an interesting theory that one of our listeners sent in. Shane wrote this in. Bunk bed theory. Kids usually sleep in them, and they tend to have more paranormal things happen to them, right? Weird things tend to happen at night, dreaming, etc. Then put two kids in close proximity. Maybe the energy they produce or whatever is overlapped because of the geographics, if you will, of where those two bodies would be.
Okay.
Interesting. Interesting thought.
It is.
Double the, you know, the amount of, you know, just energy in one place.
I thought you were going to say double the pleasure, double the fun.
Now, I almost did go there, but I didn't want you to roll your eyes at me. So you did it.
I did it. You can roll your eyes at me.
I thought I would have. I'm not going to roll my eyes. Okay. That's exactly what I was thinking. Double the pleasure, double the fun. Wrigley's double. Is it Wrigley's?
Spearmint.
Spearmint, double mint gum. Yeah. That and Juicy Fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Many memories of those old commercials peering around the corner as a child. My parents watched television. I don't remember. There's two things I remember of sneaking up my parents and they're watching TV when I was a kid. After I snuck out of bed. There would be Dallas watching that intro.
Uh-huh.
And then also a Juicy Fruit commercial. I don't know why. It was like boats and people were having an amazing time eating Juicy Fruit.
Mm.
So, I don't know.
I like the theory on the bunk beds.
It's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah.
An odd take, but seems to have some sensibility to it.
It does.
For a topic that is fairly, hard to make sense of.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting one. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Cool to hear that our last caller is a new listener from Spotify, which is another platform that our show is distributed on. If you were unaware, Spotify now shares and hosts podcasts. So that's a new feature, I think, in the last couple of months. Anyway, that audience, you can tell, is slowly growing on that platform because it's just never had podcasts before. So it's like, ooh, we can do this too. Let's go to our next letter here on the show. Comes into us from James. James writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've been listening to your show since the summer and just love it. Every time I bust out my headphones, everyone always goes, 'Oh, there he goes again, listening to his scary stories.' Anyway, I'll get to the stories, but I'll break you all in slowly. This first one happened around June of this year and is the most recent of things I've experienced. My girlfriend and I were just returning to my house to drop off a couple of items I just purchased at the grocery store. I took the items I just bought and placed them in front of the fridge on the floor. My girlfriend walked into my living room to check out something new I had in there. As she went in there, we were on and off talking to each other, and I was now placing my items in the fridge. We stopped talking for a minute when all of a sudden I began to hear my girlfriend saying, 'Hamburger,' over and over and over and over again. All while getting faster and faster, just continuing to repeat that one word. I didn't respond to it. I just kept putting in my items in the fridge, all the while getting madder and madder, more and faster. I kept hearing her say it. I looked up once to see my dog staring at me intently, but even though she was looking at me, I could tell she wasn't looking at me. All the while, still hearing the word hamburger repeated faster and faster. Just as I got done putting the items away, my girlfriend makes a comment about something in the living room. At this point, I'm pissed and go, 'What the fuck did you just say?' She looks at me calm and kind of confused and says the comment she said before about something in the living room. And I go, 'No, before that.' She stops and thinks about it for a minute and says, very confused, 'I don't remember.' I'm still pissed and go, 'Fucking hamburgers.' At this point, she has no clue what I'm talking about and tells me she never said that word a minute ago. That ends up confusing me, and I ask her, 'Did you hear the word hamburger being repeated faster and faster?' She tells me no, she was just in the living room checking out my new thing in there. So I tell her what I kept hearing and how the faster it was repeated, the more mad it kept making me feel, and that I was like, it was like three hamburgers away from flipping out. She's like, 'Well, that's kind of creepy because my parents told me they were having hamburgers tonight and that she felt kind of creeped out in my house now.' I tell her, 'I'm the one that lives here. It's a short story, and maybe this one was anything. But like I said, I'm giving you guys just a small taste of a couple of things I've heard and seen. And yes, I apologize to my girlfriend for flipping out at her. Keep up the great work. Can't wait to share my better stories with you.'"
Okay. Of all things to say, hamburgers.
It's almost like some sort of weird you know, time lapse repeating on itself or mm-hmm. loop or
it's something. Like it's skipping.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of that.
I mean, I don't know either.
That's one, like, I don't think we've ever had quite like that before. We've had odd time lapses where people were cooking things in their kitchen
mm-hmm.
and then suddenly everything was back in the fridge uncooked.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'd gone back in time by 5 minutes. We've had people saying they heard things or loved ones saying that they were, you know, hearing someone else saying something and then they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more sensible.
But did she say it at all?
I don't believe so. But she did have that relation to hearing about it recently.
Right.
So that's the weird part.
Yeah. Because I was going to say if, you know, if she had just said it and then it was repeating,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of almost like a weird residual thing, but she didn't even say it.
I don't know what to make of that one.
I don't know either.
That is bizarre. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Alyssa writes in, this isn't a huge story, but I just started listening to your podcast and listening to some old episodes. In one of them, you ask people to tell their ghost stories from being real estate agents or real estate shopping. Several years ago, I was house shopping, and my boyfriend and I decided to go look at a house that was built in 1902. The house had been completely gutted inside and redone, including tearing out part of the second story to make vaulted ceilings in the living room area at the front of the house. The detail will be important later. Also, the previous owner had added French doors and a balcony off the master bedroom, which was on the remaining section of the second story. When we were looking at the house, all three of us, me, my boyfriend, and our real estate agent, went out into the balcony and I suppose closed the door behind us. We stood on the balcony talking for a few minutes and then went to go back inside, but the door was locked. We all tried it and all agreed that it had somehow locked behind us. We were trapped on the second story balcony, not wanting to wait for help to arrive. My boyfriend shimmied down a pole to the ground and walked around to the front of the house to let himself back in. When he got up the master bedroom to let us back in, the door was not locked. Out of curiosity, we closed the door again, with myself and the realtor still out on the balcony, but my boyfriend inside so he could let us in if need be. And at this time, it opened easily each time. We thought this was strange, but we decided that the lock or doorknob must stick and that we would just replace the doorknob if we bought the house. Later, I was looking at the pictures of the house on the online listing, and I noticed that in one of the windows in the second story, there was a spot of light that looked very much like a person standing in the window. That was one of the windows in the vaulted ceilings in the living room, where there was no longer a second story. We did not buy the house.
Okay. Good to know they did not buy the house.
Yes. That's just the end. We did not buy the house.
No. I think it's funny that the ghost is stuck wandering the way it was before the remodel.
Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon to hear that sort of thing, mm-hmm. though, of a remodel or people not understanding, well, why does it appear that this, you know, they'll actually see the apparition or the entity in the house itself, like, floating as if it were, like, on this other level.
Mm-hmm.
And people wonder, well, how is it doing that? Why is it up there? Why is it not, you know, on the ground? Doesn't have to play by some rules of physics, not necessarily be floating way high up in the sky. And a lot of it is this,
mm-hmm.
where it's, for whatever reason, it seems that they still are playing by the rules of whatever the geography or the physics were in that physical location in their time.
It makes me wonder if they see it the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're just like, well, there used to be a floor here, but there's not anymore, but I can float over here like I used to.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Sometimes with things like that, it also makes me wonder, is this some sort of like a time warp thing,
mm-hmm.
where they're just going about their day in their own time and they're not technically a ghost as we traditionally think of it to us. And then every once in a while, they see these other people in our time,
mm-hmm.
in their time. And it's like the signals are crossed. They're like, oh my God, I think I saw a ghost. These people were wearing really weird things. I don't know what this, you know, like modern clothing, you know.
I know that probably happens some because we've had a couple stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the vast majority are people seeing people from a time in the past.
Sure.
I would think if, you know, that happened very often that we would have stories of people wearing really strange stuff Or maybe that's where we get alien stories. I don't know.
You never know. I mean, that's an interesting thought. That's where you, yeah, I mean, that could be that. You know, if that is the case, why are we not getting things like that mm-hmm. in the opposite of directions? And you can go really morbid with that and go, well, maybe it all ends.
Oh, thanks. That's the thought I want.
That's why there's no future ghosts.
Okay.
No, I mean, I mean, but the alien thing does, you know, seem to make sense. I don't know. It's an interesting concept, mm-hmm. you know, just to think about how the interplay back and forth goes. I don't know. Our next letter. Hi, I'm not sure if this qualifies as a ghost story, but it certainly was weird. My sister, about 15 at the time, was in bed, and I, about 11, was in the bathroom getting ready to brush our teeth. Our bedrooms were next to each other at the end of the hall. The way they were positioned meant that if I looked in the bathroom mirror, I could see by reflection into my room. I could not see into my sister's room. Both bedroom doors were open, as was the bathroom door. The bathroom light was on because I was in there getting ready to brush, but my bedroom light and my sister's were both off. She was chatting to me from her room as I put toothpaste on my toothbrush. Here's a weird part. We've been listening literally all day to a record, yep, on vinyl, called Free to Be You and Me. You may remember it from the 70s. The record player was in my room. Since it was bedtime, we'd turned it off. Not only was the record player off, but it was unplugged from the wall and the light switch and controlled the outlet it had been plugged into was in the off position. Furthermore, the needle was no longer on the record, and for some reason, the record itself wasn't positioned properly, but was instead tilted on the player. Maybe I'd started to take the record off, then changed my mind. I don't remember. There was no way it was playable at that point. So, in the bathroom, my sister is in her bedroom. I could tell she was still in her room and where her voice was coming from, and I could tell she was lying down. You know how you can tell that by someone's voice. We're chatting. There's no other noise in the house. I must have put my toothbrush in my mouth at that point because there was a lull in the conversation. Suddenly, I heard a snippet from one of the songs in the album, clear as day. Not as though my sister were singing it, but the actual song from the album as if someone were playing it. When it stopped, I said to my sister, did you hear that? She said, yes, did you? And we said that we'd sing what we'd heard at the same time, just to make sure we'd heard the same thing. We both sang the exact line that we just heard coming from my room. We both totally freaked out. Remember, I was looking in the bathroom mirror right into my room where the sound was coming from, and the switch was off, the record player was unplugged, and the player was turned off. The needle wasn't even on the record, and the record was tilted on the player. So how on earth did we hear what we did? I know we'd been listening to the album all day, but we both heard the same line actually playing. If it had been in our heads, chances are we would have been thinking of different lines. I have no explanation, but neither of us will ever forget that. As many of your listeners say, I do have more stories, real ghost ones, not just weird happenings like this one, so maybe I'll tell you about another time. This is long enough.
It's a lot like the hamburger story.
It is. I was going to say.
Yep.
It all meshes together.
It's just that weird, I don't know. It's almost like time skipping.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that both of them heard the same part. You know, I can see the song being stuck in your head to the point after hearing it all day that you think you're still hearing it.
Sure.
But for the both of them to say they heard it at the same part.
At the same time.
At the same time. Something made that noise.
And it predates a lot of other technology, too,
mm-hmm.
where you could argue, oh, it's a technical glitch on the computer or something, you know, where, because it's not a computer.
Right.
You know, we're talking a physical record player here, where you could have something stored in some sort of, you know, hard drive and it's some glitch replayed it back, even, you know, doesn't exist at mm-hmm. this point in time. For our younger listeners who are thinking, well, it could be. No glitches there.
Right.
It needs to be there for it to do anything. So, I don't know. Very odd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I get this feeling there's a lot of, like, time warping things going on some of these stories here today. Elaine writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. In the Personal Space podcast, you read my story about the rude woman in our local movie theater. You both gave me so much to think about, and I thank you for that. I'd always wondered if she might have been an angel, since the movie we were seeing was about the apocalypse and the end of the world. Here's another story of an experience that occurred in the same movie theater. In 2014, my husband and I went to see the movie Maleficent. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. For about 10 minutes, I watched my families, many families enter the well-lit theater, walk down the ramp, and take their seats. Though everyone was seated, I was still watching the ramp when I noticed what looked like iridescent shapes floating down the ramp. It looked human since I could see the shape of a head and shoulders, but no arms or legs. There were four of them in various sizes. I remember thinking they looked like two adults, two kids. They floated towards the front of the theater, then slowly disappeared in front of the movie screen. I asked my husband if he had noticed them, and he said no. A few minutes later, same four shapes reappeared at the other end of the movie screen and began to float up the theater, right to where I was sitting. I was surprised that I wasn't scared. They were so beautiful. Their iridescent colors of green, red, blue, orange would swirl and shimmer as if it was alive. They slowly disappeared. Never seen anything like this before or after. 2 years later, I'm still wondering what exactly I saw and why. I'd love to hear your thoughts, and thank you for making these podcasts. I'm sure there are many people who are comforted by them. Elaine.
I think it's neat that they're still going to see movies together as a family.
Yeah.
But the sad part is, I think if they're still varying sizes and stuff, they probably all died at the same time.
It'd be interesting. I mean, I'm assuming there's probably not a tragedy at the theater.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that much. It is interesting that that they are all able to still... They're still like a unit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not... that's a comforting thought, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, if something, you know, were to happen to a group of people like that, that they could still be in contact with each other and still be together and not suddenly all dispersed into the ether. But interesting. Do you think they still argue about what, you know, movie they're going to go see?
I don't know. I wondered if maybe... And this is a horrible, morbid thought. Maybe they were, like, in a car accident on the way to the movies.
And that was, like, the original intent?
Maybe.
And now they're at the theater? I wonder how many times they have to scold their ghost children for floating into the popcorn. Remember the other day we had the story of someone talking about how they believe that they understand how ghosts taste things? And it's by literally immersing themselves into things?
I don't remember that, but remember there was a day or so where I was sick.
Maybe it was that day.
Okay.
And that was the thought process.
Uh-huh.
It was that you can't eat things in death. It's impossible to pick those things up. But you can still taste them, and you can easily do that by literally just immersing yourself into the object you're wanting to taste. Then you'll get that sensation.
Okay. That's interesting.
A lot of ghost children hanging out inside the popcorn.
That's gross.
interesting thing to think about, though.
Mm-hmm.
And comforting, too, if you're worried about not being able to taste things in death.
Oh, I know you worry about that because you freak out when you can't taste things when you're sick.
I do. And that to me, is one of those things where I would really miss it. I enjoy tasting things.
That's like the thing I see that depresses you the most is your inability to taste.
It really is. It is. I mean, it's a big downer.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything's like, then I don't eat enough. And then that probably affects other things, you know, as far as like mood and everything else goes. And it's just a big downward spiral
mm-hmm.
when I can't taste things. But luckily, the taste is back.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. You seem peppier today.
I can taste again. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying the tea that I bought. Ruby writes in, I have a really short story for you guys. More funny than creepy, but still paranormal. This event happened literally 15 minutes ago from the time I'm writing this into you. It's around 4 a.m. and I'm still sitting on my bed with my laptop, even though I know I need to get up tomorrow and get some housework done. On my bedside table is a very small, maybe 2 inches tall bottle of essential oils labeled Sleep Aid, which I use when I'm having trouble dozing off. While I'm watching my computer screen, I saw a little bit of movement out of the corner of my eye. Glanced up and the bottle was inching towards me across the table. The table surface is completely flat. There was no wind or anything that could have moved it naturally. When I actually paid full attention to it, it stopped. But the moment I turned back to my computer, it started moving towards me again, only to stop again. When I looked up, by then it was over 5 inches from where it had been before, so I know it wasn't my eyes playing tricks on me. Apparently, I have a ghost who doesn't approve of my sleeping habits. Thank you all for the both of what you do. I love the show and hope to become an EPP as soon as I start my new job. But for now, I think I'd better call it a night so my ghost doesn't get upset. Sweet dreams, Ruby.
I think that's funny that it's just the one object that they're moving. It's probably picked the thing that is most likely for me to be able to move.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. I don't know that it really matters what it was. It's just the smallest thing right there.
Point of least resistance, essentially, yeah. And not to read too much into the mm-hmm. object. I would agree with that. Thank you for the letter, Ruby. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you're a new listener to our show, welcome. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you like what we do here, if you want more ghost stories, in fact, our best ghost stories every week, then you want to become an EPP. That's an extra podcast person. You sign up for that on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP, and you'll get access to all of our bonus episodes, more than 80 of them. Access to the archive of episodes that has fallen off of iTunes, so there's even more bonus episodes there for you. And then exclusive video content as well, including our video program, Seeing Ghosts, that we put out every month. Bunch of episodes there where we examine real-life ghost photos that have been sent into us. So check it out, and that's what really funds this show and keeps it afloat. So if you like it, please consider throwing a little bit in the kitty and keeping it going. Willie writes in, when I was about 14, my family lived in an older house on Route 54 in a rural town called Williamsville in Lower Delaware. We lived there since I was about 2, and sometimes I had a strange feeling in the upstairs hallway. Sometimes when my older brothers and sisters were away, I was the youngest. Took a small room off the living room under the stairs to sleep in. When I got older, about 13, I decided to conquer my fear. Took a room for myself upstairs. I had a pick of two of them, since most of my older siblings had moved out of town. A pick of two rooms at opposite ends of the hallway. One evening, I was drawing a sort of spaceship picture on my new slanted drawing desk, which was in one of the rooms, and watching a VHS copy of Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, in which the TV and VCR was in the other room. This was in about the year 1986. Going through the hall occasionally, back and forth, I heard the sweeping sound, exactly like the sound of an old corn broom being swept back and forth, across a hardwood floor. It was weird because I couldn't pinpoint the sound's exact location, one end of the hallway or the other. However, if I went into one of the rooms and shut the door, I could hear it, sounding like it definitely was in the hallway. So it was localized in the hallway, but it wasn't in one particular spot in the hallway. If I stood at one end of the hall, it seemed like it was maybe at the other end. If I stood in the center, it seemed to be coming from either end, but it was hard to tell. Since then, I've experienced a lot more sleeping people walking at the periphery of my vision, only to look and they'd fade. Disembodied voices at my brother-in-law's house, which he also heard twice. I've seen my dead father's face, once out of the kitchen window and once on a blank piece of art paper I was drawing on. My dad's spirit was the most pleasant feeling. The only thing that freaked me out at all was the sweeping noise. That house is gone now. I don't know if that sound could ever come back. The weirdness of that was that it was so constant.
Did he say if the floor in the room he was talking about was carpet or if it used to be hardwood or what?
There was the sound of the wood on the hardwood floor. I don't believe he recognized what it currently is.
Because I was wondering if maybe it was the sound from in the past
mm-hmm.
of the sweeping.
Sure.
That used to be a hard floor.
Which would be even more troubling if you have carpets.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that before.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it goes back to them using or operating by the laws of whatever was there in their time.
Because we've had most of the stories that deal with that are furniture sounding like it's being dragged across a hard floor when mm-hmm. there's carpet in that room.
Yeah.
So I was just curious.
Interesting to know the answer to that one. Thank you for sharing that story. Sheila writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I really love listening to your show. And one story you shared in a recent episode reminded me of my own experience. I grew up in San Diego, California, and my childhood house was very haunted. It was odd because things were always happening to my mom, my brother, and me, that we never really spoke about it until much later. My brother still doesn't like talking about it unless I give him a drink or two. Most of the time it was innocuous things like hearing voices calling my name when no one was home. Sometimes I'd see strange creatures, and I remember I always had a fear of looking out my bedroom window, though I didn't know why. My mom later told me that when I was very little, I would say that I could see a man looking in through the window at me. But the story I finally settled on sharing with you is the most terrifying thing that has ever happened to me. It took place when I was in 7th grade. I woke up in the middle of the night from a very bad dream. It was a strange dream about a demon who was attacking me. As soon as I woke up, I felt like something was in the room with me. The first thing I noticed was that it was pitch black. You know, usually in your dark bedroom, you can at least see outlines of things, but this felt like I was in a dark cave. I was so baffled by this that I lifted my hand to my face and touched my eyeballs to make sure my eyelids were actually open. Then I suddenly felt a hand on my chest. At first, it was just the fingertips, and it was crawling up my chest to my neck. When one finger touched my neck, I sat up quickly and heard the hand fly across the room and hit the wall. I don't know how to describe it, but I knew it was just a hand, disembodied hand. I began screaming for my mom at this point. I heard the hand struggling as if it had fallen on its back and was trying to right itself up like a turtle. Then I got the sense that the hand had gotten up and was preparing an attack again. I jumped out of bed and ran for the door. I was a very messy child, so I tripped over a pile of school books I'd left on the floor, and since it was still completely dark, I fell face first into the door. I tried to open the door, but in typical horror movie fashion, I couldn't find the doorknob. I was still shrieking for my mother and couldn't believe she hadn't come to save me yet. Finally, I found the doorknob, but just as I grasped it with both hands, the hand that was in the room grabbed my neck from behind and squeezed. I opened the door with one hand and with the other grabbed the door frame and pulled myself forward. As I did so, I slipped out of the grip of the hand. I could feel the long fingernails dig into and scratch my flesh as I broke free. My bedroom was down a long hallway separated from my parents. Still unable to see anything but in total darkness, I stumbled as fast as I could down the hallway, found my parents' door, and burst into their bedroom. My parents had, of course, heard me screaming. Their light was on and my mother was getting out of bed. The first thing I remember is that I could finally see, and it took no time for my eyes to adjust from total darkness to a well-lit bedroom. My mother calmed me down, and I finally told her that it was a hand that attacked me. I felt ridiculous saying it. My father was the only one in the house who didn't really experience anything, so the whole episode made him rather grumpy. My mother told me it was probably my own hand that had fallen asleep, so I couldn't feel it. But it couldn't have been my own hand, since I had to use both hands to find the doorknob to pull myself to the doorway. Also, I kept my nails very short, and this hand had long nails. I felt them when they scratched my neck. My mom found our cat, who had been outside, and put him with me and kept my light on for the rest of the night. I was very upset that my family wasn't taking me seriously. However, once I got older and we began talking about the house, my mother told me that for a long time she was trying things to get that ghost out of the house, and after this incident she was more worried than ever, but didn't want to scare me. Oh, and one more thing. At the time, I was convinced that the demon from my dream was the owner of this hand. It actually wasn't the first time a ghost disturbed my dreams. To this day, I'll occasionally have nightmares about a creature I would see in that house. Thanks for listening to my story.
I think it was something just trying to manifest as the scariest possible thought for that child.
And it knew that being a hand would be it.
Yeah, I don't think it was literally a hand by itself. I think there was something attached to it, but, you know, maybe making just the hand visible so it seemed like there was a hand flying around. That's terrifying.
That's so bizarre. I mean, stories like that also, I mean, I don't think it is a carbon monoxide thing in this case. Just, there's other things that add up to this being much more than that.
Sure.
But there are some cases or some stories that we get where it's weird things like that that could possibly be pieces of our imagination that have, you know, it's pulling things that we know exist from movies or this or that, and then they manifest into real life when you're in a situation like that and you're essentially hallucinating whatever your mind's going to project out there. But I don't think that is the case here.
No.
But very odd. Thank you for that that story. Hand story number two in the large archive of ghost stories that we have here on the show. Joelle writes in, first off, I absolutely love you guys and have spent endless hours listening to your podcast. Recently became an EPP member and both my son and I are excited to listen to even more stories. I have many to share, but I'll start with the time from when I rented a room for a gal that I didn't know. I had just split from my boyfriend and at the time couldn't afford a place of my own. She seemed okay at the beginning, but after staying there a few nights, I found myself sleeping with the lights on. I never felt at ease and would often see things out of the corner of my eye. It was winter, and yet the vertical blinds would sway as if the window was open. No windows were open and the heater was off, so I couldn't explain why it was happening. I tried to shake it off, but couldn't ignore that the two cats would be distressed and the hair on their backs would raise while looking in the direction. In the days that went by, I tried to spend as less time as there as I possibly could. For one, my roommate was kind of a weirdo, and I never knew when she would be in the bad mood. And number two, the place seriously creeped me out. Then came the 2 weeks she went out of state, and I gratefully had the place to myself. On the first night, I was home watching TV and could faintly hear water running. Confused because I hadn't been there for all about 30 minutes and certainly had not been in the kitchen, the hairs on my neck stood up, and I instantly got the chills as I walked to the kitchen and turned the lights on to see that the faucet had been turned on. It wasn't just a trickle. It was on all the way. I quickly turned it off, grabbed my keys, and slept at a friend's house. 2 nights later, after dinner out with friends, I decided to go home and keep the kitties company. So there I was again, alone, watching a movie. The cats were uneasy and kept growling and pacing the room, looking at something I didn't see. I was beginning to get anxious myself, so I went to the kitchen to get a beer. I immediately saw a burner on the stove was on and bright red. What the fuck? I'd eaten out with friends and couldn't have accidentally left the stove on, and the blinds and the sliding glass door moved as if a gust of air went by. I was freaking out and called a friend over to stay with me. The next morning, I called my roommate to ask her if she, too, had experienced anything paranormal. I wasn't surprised to hear that she, in fact, had things happen, too. For instance, she said that one time she was vacuuming and then left the house to go to the store real quick and put the vacuum away. She came back and opened the door to the sound of her vacuum on. No way did she leave it running. I asked if she knew the history of the home, and she said that it was rumored that someone was murdered there. From then on, she was out of town, and I wouldn't stay by myself. One night, though, after work, I had a date planned, but had to go home to freshen up and change. I was rushing as to not have to be there any longer than necessary. I fed the cats, grabbed my coat, purse, and where the hell are my keys? I searched everywhere, and they were nowhere. I was about in tears because I kept hearing noises and felt as if I wasn't alone all the while, frantically looking for my keys so I could get the hell out of there. Again, yelling at the ghost, begging to give my keys back. I went to my room, turned on the lights, and there were my keys, right in plain sight in the middle of the floor. No way I could have overlooked them. I looked there like 10 times already. I've been searching for about a half hour. Most of my belongings were in storage, so my room consisted of a bed and a few clothes on it, so it was pretty empty. When I picked up my keys, they were ice cold, as if they had been in the freezer. I had goosebumps and felt very afraid and left immediately. The next day, I went to a cool spiritual store that sold a variety of books, stones, herbs, and whatnot. I asked them for any advice on how to get rid of ghosts. They told me a small bottle of holy water and some twined sage to smudge the place. I tried it, but it still felt unwelcoming there. Needless to say, my roommate turned out to be a whack job, and I moved out shortly thereafter. Sorry this is so long, but I hope you enjoyed my story.
I wonder if the roommate went wacky because of the stuff going on.
You wonder that. You wonder, was the roommate involved with the stuff going on?
Mm-hmm.
In bringing it in and stirring it up? I don't know. If whack job was explained a little more.
Exactly which way to take that.
I don't know exactly how to take that, but it's... an interesting predicament. I was almost wondering, they were saying that the roommate was constantly gone. I wonder if the roommate kind of felt the same in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
Without saying it out loud, because they didn't want to lose the roommate to help pay the rent there. I don't know. Good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Charles writes in, hello, my name's Charles from Ohio. I'm writing to you concerning an incident that happened to me in 1987. At the time, I was 19 years old, based in the Champaign County Jail in Urbana, Ohio. This was a typical jail at the time, where the cells were set up in a box-like form with a catwalk going around the outside of the cells so the guards could see and count you from any position on the catwalk. Typically, we'd be locked in these cells at 11 p.m. every night. On this night, I was locked in my cell for the night, and I laid down on my bunk. My thoughts were of the discussion myself and another prisoner were having over the devil. I was making statements to the effect that there was a devil. I laid in my bunk that night, and I felt darkness come upon me. I felt it to the point that I knew it was behind me on the catwalk, even though there were bars between myself and it, as I don't know, and still don't know what it was. I was terrified. I could not move my body, and I could not speak. It was a feeling of terror and dread all mixed together. I've never been so scared in my life. I don't really know how long I laid there in that state, but I finally got to the point where I could start to function. The first thing I did is reach up and turn my radio on to break the silence. There was a news report on right then. I remember hearing the news commenter saying that Charles Manson was denied parole at this hearing that day, and that they gave the Ohio lottery results for that night, which were 666. It was totally mind-boggling to me. I still get shook up thinking about it, even though it was 29 years ago. I hope you can shed some light on what happened to me on the night all those years ago. Thank you. And thank you for your show, which I just discovered on YouTube last night. Charles.
I would imagine that jails and prisons have their fair share of hauntings because of all the energy there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not surprised that there's probably some that have an evil presence.
Sure, some negative energy there, mm-hmm. probably quite a bit, and that it all kind of gets built up or is also almost a battery for conjuring other things up that are maybe not human mm-hmm. necessarily. It is interesting where then that was the news story, and then those were the pick three numbers or whatever it was.
Sure.
That's very creepy. I remember one year as a kid, there was is there pick three here? In Wisconsin, there was a lottery called pick three.
I don't know.
And it was on during the evening news every night. And it's exactly what it is, pick three numbers. And I remember one Halloween, those were the numbers that came up.
Oh.
Not joking at all. It was just like, well, that's a little creepy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you know, nothing else happened. I don't recall of any other, you know, correlation other than it was Halloween. And those are the numbers that showed up on pick three. And I don't know how many, you know, balls rotate in that thing for the numbers, but it's just kind of odd.
Yeah.
Very odd. So there you go. Very, very interesting story. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller and get one more story here in on today's episode. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Mary from California. I've been following your podcast literally since you did the first one, and I've shared a number of experiences way back then, but it's been a while. But the phantom cars, or whatever they're called, came to mind when I listened to some podcasts a while ago. It reminded me of a story when I was driving from California up to Washington to visit my daughter. So I was heading up Interstate 5, and when you do that, you drive past Mount Shasta, which is a beautiful old volcano, beautiful little city there. And the freeway was not busy at the time at all, because I was going up pretty early in the morning. Very little traffic. And just past one of the exits going to the little city there, Mount Shasta, I saw a car coming onto the road. It was just a small little white car. And the reason it stands out to me is because it wasn't a modern car. It was more like a car my grandma used to drive. It wasn't her car, but similar style that probably would have been late 1940s, smaller, economical car for its day. And So what I did is I pulled over to the left lane so that it could merge onto the interstate. You know, just being courteous, I guess. So anyway, I look on my rearview mirror to see, okay, is it safe for me to pull back over into the right lane now after this car merged? And it wasn't there. I'm like, okay, where'd this car go? I just pulled over to let it merge. It hadn't passed me. I pulled over to the side of the freeway, put my flashers on, even though there was hardly any traffic, got out of my car. Maybe something happened. Did he pull over to the side of the road? No, it was just gone. And there was it was a great distance, probably another half mile to the next exit. There was no other way for him to exit or do a U-turn if he was trying to pull a quickie on the interstate and turn around or something. He was just gone. And I just found that to be the oddest thing I've ever seen, because I've never seen it before, never seen it since. And it was just really strange. You pull over for a car that wants to merge onto the freeway, only to pull back into your lane and find out it's not there at all. Can't explain that one at all, but thought I'd share it. Thank you so much. It's wonderful that your show's doing so well, and I'm so glad Jenny came on there a while ago. So you guys just put a wonderful, wonderful show together. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for the kind words, and thank you for the story. What do you think? Do you think wrinkle in time on that? Do you think just ghost car? What are you getting?
I think ghost car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just some, that's what the entity is traveling in. That's how it's going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a creepy one.
I like that.
Anytime you have large pieces of machinery that are coming back as ghost objects, cars, boats, trains,
mm-hmm.
there's just something very, I don't know, that to me is sometimes almost creepier than a ghost person.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I don't know. I don't know. Just, it's one of those things that just to me, I guess sparks my spooky meter high. Sparks my spooky meter high.
Okay.
There's a new term you never thought you'd hear me say.
No.
I never knew I could say it. There you go. Wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thanks to the stories. Thanks to the calls. And if you're an EPP, thank you. If not, please become one. Help keep our show in the air. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click become an EPP. That's what fuels this thing. Without that, without our EPPs, the show would not go on. So if you like it, you want to continue, please continue. We'll give you a bunch of free episodes in exchange. More than 80 of them up there. New ones every week. And exclusive video content as well. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP and check it out for yourself. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, this is Danielle Robay, the host of Bookmarked by Reese's Book Club, a podcast by Hello Sunshine and iHeart Podcasts. I'm partnering with Simple Mills, and I've just found my new go-to reading snack, Simple Mills Almond Flour Crackers. Think of this as a quick book-style review because these crackers deserve it. The premise? A snack that feels light, not heavy. Made with almond flour, sunflower seeds, and flax seeds. Nutrient-dense ingredients your body can use, not empty carbs. And the taste? Crunchy classic flavors that leave you feeling energized. For a good plot twist, try Pop'ems, cheesy, airy, poppable crackers packed with veggies. Final verdict, these are a shelf staple. Find Simple Mills at your grocery store.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing, another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.